First John. This letter was written at a time when there was many false teachers that denied the divinity and humanity of Christ. After doing some research, it appears that John probably wrote this letter to speak confidence in the testimony of God. Now, just as we were in the book of John, like John said, Pastor John, and learning about the light that is Jesus Christ, we're going to look at the same light, the same Jesus Christ, and we're going to have the Apostle John guide us in what fellowship and reconciliation with God looks like, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So we're going to read all of 1 John, and I will share summarization points and stuff along the way. So let's begin. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Wonderful. So, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We will get to that in John 14 when we get through the Gospel of John. The life, Jesus, is modeled through the Word and was made manifest and seen. John is saying that he testifies about Jesus, that he is the life, and proclaims him, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Proclamation of the gospel is fellowship, and John is clearly stating that here through his proclamation. Now, John, throughout this letter, says things like, we are writing these things to you because, and I'm writing these things so, and I write to you because. Take note, because these are helpful cues into knowing the reason God wrote this letter for you. John says, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. When was the last time your joy was complete? When was the first time your joy was complete? Knowing you have reconciliation with God. Let's continue. In verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The message of God is exclusive and is of no neutrality. What we say and what we do both shows our true spiritual state and who we are at the core of our being, either of the Lord or not of the Lord. Characteristics of people not of the Lord. Saying they have fellowship with him, but they walk in darkness. Saying they have no sin or have not sinned. These people are described by John as deceived liars. His word of truth is not in them. Of the Lord are people that walk in the light, as he is in the light, have fellowship with one another. They come to church. They commune with the body of Jesus, which is the church. They confess their sins daily, repent. These people are described as forgiven and cleansed by his blood from all sin and all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, John continues, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. As we read the text, we should always be striving to understand what the author's intent, what is God's intention in having John pen this letter by the Holy Spirit. Well, he says it clearly here. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And when we do sin, we have an advocate. Christ is our propitiation. Now, what is propitiation? Sinclair Ferguson says it, the propitiation, is the means by which the wrath of God is turned away from us. The propitiation, is the means by which the wrath of God is turned away from us. That is the atonement of Christ. And by keeping his commandments, we know that we have come to know him. If we keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us. You'll notice throughout this text that he keeps saying, we know, so that we can know him. We want to know him and then know him and then know him. And right here, and by keeping his commandments, we know him. There's an incredible dance here between knowing and abiding and obeying his commandments. You know Jesus' commandments. You obey Jesus' commandments by faith. And by this, you abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in you. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. Another way John says this, walk in the light as he is in the light. Verse 7, beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. The commandment of God has not changed and is still new. Children not of God are spiritually blind. Here's another contrast. There's no neutrality. You are either in the light or you are in the darkness. John says, those that are in the light, they love their brothers. He loves his brother. And in him, there is no cause for stumbling. Those that are in the darkness hates his brother, but also says he's in the light. He does not know where he is going. The darkness has blinded his eyes. John here is reminding the reader who they are in 12 through 14, and what they have done by putting their faith in Jesus. We will dive a little bit deeper into that in 1 John 4. So let's continue. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. After looking at this text, this is actually the only commandment in this letter, and that is John commands us not to love the world or the things of the world. The things of the world are not of the Father, and they will pass away. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Christian, John wrote this letter to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's continue. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. John saying here, non-believers in time will depart from believers because they are not true believers and were never true to begin with. If they were true, they would have continued with us. John interjects another reason for his writing here. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and because no lie is of the truth. The Antichrist denies that Jesus is the Christ. If you deny the Son, you do not have access to the Father. John warns of false teachers that want to trick, lie, and deceive, and urges us to abide in Christ. Verse 24 right here, it says, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. The Lord Jesus also loved the word abide. Back in John 15, which we will cover with Pastor John soon. Sorry for the spoilers. In John 15, verse 4, listen along with me. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. I think John is like, right at the beginning of this text, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Like, what a beautiful thing. Praise Jesus for that. We can know who is born of him by seeing who practices righteousness. 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. What a awesome thing John's doing for us by giving us just a list and then a list. These are who are in Jesus. These are who are born of God, born of the devil. The world does not recognize us because they don't know God. Who hopes in Jesus is purified. The one who hopes in Jesus is purified. Excuse me. Jesus is pure. In him there is no sin. The reason Jesus appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Those who abide in God don't practice sin, and those who don't abide in God do practice sin. Children of God are of him, they abide in him, they're in the light, they're born of him, born of God, cannot keep on sinning, and they are of the truth. Children of the devil, they're not of God. They do not love their brother. They're in the darkness. They commit works of the devil and make a practice of sinning, and they abide in death, as we will see here. For this is the message, back in verse 11, for this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in the word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. How do we know we have passed out of death into life? We love the brothers. We know love because Jesus laid down his life for us. The ultimate form of love, sacrifice. Our assurance that we are of the truth is that we follow his commandments. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Continuing in 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Test all spirits. Test all spirits to see whether they are from God. How? How do we test all spirits? Well, he says, if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they are from God. You are from God and have overcome the antichrists because the seed of God abides in you. By whoever listens to the apostles, John's saying here, you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is spiritual discernment. This is... As Webster in the 1828 dictionary defines discernment, the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood, virtue from vice. Test all spirits to see whether they are from God. John continues, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The love of God was made manifest in the plan since the beginning for Jesus, that the Father would send his only Son into the world that we might live through him. He has given us his Spirit. John says, perfect love casts out fear. And how can someone hate their brother who they have seen and love God who they have not seen? God is love, and thus we must love one another. Last chapter here. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Love God and obey his commandments. Believe Jesus is the Christ. This is how you know you are born of God and you love his children and how you will overcome the world. 1 John 5:6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. The testimony of God is greater than the testimony of man. Whoever believes in the Son of God has received the true testimony of the Holy Spirit regarding Jesus Christ. And what is the testimony? John says here that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why has John repeated the same things in different ways with different perspectives and still the same meanings? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, to you Christians, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, what is it that we know? John says here, we know that we have confidence that whatever we ask of him according to his will, he hears us and God grants our requests. We know that we are born of God. We do not harbor and hide continuous unrepentant sin. We know God protects us. We know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of Satan. Christian, we know that Jesus has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, the Son of God. And John ends with a final exhortation, keep yourselves from idols. There's really no need to dig deeper on that one. It is simple. Keep yourself from idols. How do you know that you're keeping yourself from idols? You know Jesus' commandments. You obey Jesus' commandments by faith. You repent of your sins and you trust in the one who has the words of eternal life. These words, Christian, from God are written down through the Apostle John by the Holy Spirit so that you may know. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this letter that John wrote. God, let us know, Lord. Let us know you. Let us know your truths. God, let us come to you and put you first and truly have a knowing and abiding in you, Lord. We give you the glory. We praise you for your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.